Today we're in 2 Peter chapter 2. It's one of the warnings against false teachers in the New Testament. And it kind of keys into the central part of the book of Jude. There are a lot of parallels. And the way I read it is that Peter is warning that the false teachers are coming. Jude reminds his readers that the false teachers are here. They've arrived. And he uses a lot of allusions to this passage. Now, I don't have time to do both of them in detail. I'm going to focus on 2 Peter chapter 2 and just give you a heads up that Jude actually uses a lot of this and discusses the same things in order. He adds some other stuff. Now, another thing that I want to say is it's not very popular to talk about false teaching these days for some reason. I think maybe the reason is that Satan has a lot of false teaching out there and he doesn't want anybody to call him out on that. These false teachers were, if you go on and read into chapter 3, they were mocking the idea of the second coming. And that's central here because if you don't think that God's going to judge you, then you're free to do anything you want to do. Okay? And this is Herr Hitler and all of them. I mean, if there is not going to be a judgment, then it's very short step to you to the left, you to the right. Okay? And so these false teachers mock the second coming. They're not afraid of being judged. Now, you know and I know that judgment's going to begin at the household of God. And we don't judge people. We don't condemn people because we know that we would be under the same condemnation. Okay? So even fellow Christians, you know that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so that should make a difference in how we live. Well, it didn't make a difference in how these false teachers lived. So Peter is giving us a heads up that these people are out there. He's been talking at the end of chapter 1. He says in chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, he says, "Know this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Now he's going to talk about the true prophets of God. He says, "For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." He's talking about the prophets. All right? Now he's going to do a contrast. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, but there were also false prophets among the people. Now he's made a transition between the true prophets and the false prophets. All right? "There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you." Now, the lesson here is about avoiding false teaching. And it breaks down to we need to avoid their destructive doctrines. We're to avoid their doom, their ultimate destiny, in other words. We are to avoid their depravity. In other words, the way they are. We're to avoid that. And we're to avoid their deceptions. And so it's going to be a detailed warning against these people. We're to avoid their doctrines. We're to avoid their ultimate doom. We're to avoid their deception. Okay? And so he breaks it down for us. The first one, we need to avoid their destructive doctrine. "There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies." This is being done on the sly. They're smuggling in destructive heresies, "even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." Now, these false teachers are not saved, yet, interestingly, they deny the Lord who bought them. Christ paid a penalty on the cross, but these people are not going to avail themselves of that. They're going to be lost. Okay? They deny the Lord and bring on themselves swift destruction. They're not going to get out of it. And many will follow their destructive ways. Now, Peter is very, very concerned that none of his flock follow after them. And so Peter is not saying these people will ultimately get saved someday, these false teachers. He's written them off. But he's concerned about the ones who are following after them. He wants to redeem them. He wants to bring them under sound teaching. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Now, he says, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. All right, what do we say here? These false teachers have secretly brought in this doctrine. Number two, these doctrines are destructive. They are not good for you, all right? Yeah. 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 That's what Christ condemns in the book of Revelation as Nicolaitans. Okay? So since you've been saved, you can go out and you can live any way you want to and don't have to worry about the consequences. Yeah, I think this has an overtone of they're allowing sensual living. Okay? And he says that they're doing it by covetousness. You know, they want money. They want power. They want fame. They're doing it because of covetousness. And because of these people, the way of the truth will be spoken against or blasphemed. You know, that's a problem when you got somebody who starts, like we had a fella who started setting a date for the Lord's return, and because of that, all the Christians were being tarred and feathered in the media. The way of the truth will be blasphemed because of this. All right? And then he says, by covetousness, they will take advantage of you. They will exploit you with false words, fabricated words, messages they've just made up. They're not getting this from God. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. In other words, they're not getting away with this. Yeah.
Would you say that some of these false teachers, do they know they're preaching false doctrine?
They might have been self-deceived. All right. Yeah, yeah. And that's the kind of people, Peter's trying to redeem. Not the teachers, but the ones who are being led astray. He's trying to bring them back into the fold. And that's key in the third part of this. All right? All right, so we need to avoid their destructive doctrines first. All right, number two. We are to avoid their ultimate destiny. We don't want to go where the false teachers are going. Okay? So don't follow them now. He says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, he's talking about fallen angels now. If God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to Tartarus, the pit. He cast them down. You might have the word hell in your text there. This is not the lake of fire. This is not Gehenna. This is a place called Tartarus. And it's where the fallen angels, at least some of them, are being incarcerated. Okay, you can read about it in Revelation. It's somewhere over near the Euphrates. It says, he cast them down to Tartarus and delivered them to chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. We're talking about fallen angels now. If God did not spare them, and he did not spare the ancient world, but rescued Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, when God brought in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and God knows how to do this, all right? He turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who would afterward live ungodly. And he delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul day after day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He delivered Noah. He delivered Lot. He knows how to deliver you through this. All right? Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and he knows how to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. That would be the false teachers. He knows how to deliver you, and he knows how to reserve them for judgment. Okay? God's up to this. Especially, now the unjust, especially those, he's talking about the false teachers now, especially those who walk according to the flesh. They're not walking by the Spirit, all right? In the lust of uncleanness, okay? They're walking in lust, which has been generated by their uncleanness, and despise authority, all right? Now, in the context, they're despising angelic authority. Nobody's going to tell me how to live. And ultimately, they're denying the second coming too. They don't see themselves as they say in Georgia, aching for a breaking. All right, they despise authority. They are presumptuous. That means daring. They are self-willed, arrogant. They are not trembling to speak evil of dignitaries. All right, they're trashing the angels, the fallen angels. They're boasting, and they're not trembling before the fact that we're going to stand before God. Okay, that's just not there. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Now, if you go over to the book of Jude, even Michael the archangel, when he was contending with the devil over the body of Moses, did not condemn the devil. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." Okay? But these guys, they're not afraid. They're not afraid of judgment. Okay? And I think that's key to understanding them. Okay, so they're going to be damned, so we need to avoid their destiny too. We need to avoid their doctrines, but we need to avoid their ultimate destiny. Number three, we need to avoid their depravity. Who they are, we need to shun these types. All right, he says, but these, verse 12, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, he's comparing them to animals, speak evil of things they do not understand and will utterly perish in their own corruption. And they will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. These people are getting drunk in the morning in broad daylight. What they're doing, they're not ashamed of it. Their spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, we get back to that self-deception. They probably think they're fine.
Well, won't the Lord have a field day with the universal church?
What do you mean by universal church? False teaching? Well, yeah, but we want to pray for them while there's still time, because you don't want your worst enemy to wind up where they're going to wind up unless they repent. Notice in the book of Revelation, even Jezebel, Christ gives her space to repent, but she didn't. Okay, we can always pray that for them. But he says, they're carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Now, in the ancient church, they had a practice. We don't do it today. Well, the Moravians do over in Winston-Salem. But it is called a love feast. And in a worship service, they would basically bring dinner on the grounds. And they would have a meal, and then they would go into the Lord's Supper. And Paul is addressing this in Corinth, because they're bringing wine. They're not cutting it with water. They're drinking it undiluted, and they're getting drunk, and they're not sharing with others. And that's the way they're going into the Lord's Supper. And Paul rebukes that, okay? This was a time of sharing. It was a fellowship meal, if you would, all right? These guys, because they're not afraid that Christ is going to judge them, they're not even thinking about the second coming. They're sitting there, and they're just eating with the church, and they're not fearing the fact that they're false teachers and they're going to be judged. They're not even thinking about that. And he says, their spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they are feasting with you, having eyes full of an adulteress. Okay? They're eating, and they're looking at people as if they are going to be adulteresses with them. They're looking for victims. They're scouting out. And that cannot cease from sin. Enticing unstable souls. All right, they're seducing people. They have a heart trained in covetous practices. Now, that's in the context, not just licentiousness, it's also greed for money. And they are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. All right? False teaching for hire. That's what Balaam did. And when he died, he was in the enemy camp, and he had made the children of Israel stumble by Baal worship, this kind of sexual licentiousness. All right? And he really got them stumbling too. He tried to curse Israel three times, and it kept coming out as a blessing. And God restrained the madness of the prophet. Okay? And he's saying, don't go that way. And he says, verse 17, they're wells without water. If you're in the desert and you're thirsty and you come up and you see a well and you put your bucket in and it's empty, it's a dry well, bad thing. They're wells. It looks like you're going to get nourishment, but they have no water. That's the problem. That's the problem with false teaching, huh?
It's like TBN. It's like a lot of these major networks. It's like the crowd, they could even hold the I'm not saying they weren't Christians. These people are not. And that's a lot of what's going on. It's part of the rough.
And they're some of them are in it for the money.
Yeah.
And just because somebody's popular doesn't mean that person is right. Okay, and it says, these are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest. Now, you see clouds in the Holy Land, and what do you expect from them? Rain. That's what you want. Clouds carried by a tempest. This is the flip side of that. All right. And so he says, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? These people will not ultimately get saved. Okay? It's not hopeful for them. Now, we need to avoid the depravity, all right? Corruption. They speak evil of things they don't understand. They're slandering the fallen angels. They're speaking evil of dignitaries. They're carousing in the daytime. They're not afraid of judgment. Spots and blemishes. In other words, they've infiltrated the church. They have eyes full of an adulteress. They cannot stop sinning. They're not walking in the Spirit. They're walking in the flesh, in the lust that comes from uncleanness. A heart trained in covetous practices, and they're basically accursed children. We're to avoid their persona. We're to avoid their character, not just their destiny, all right? Finally, number four, we are to avoid their deceptive teaching. Now, this next passage is very, very difficult, and it is difficult because Peter starts talking very fast, and he's saying, they, them, and you get totally confused if you don't keep it straight. You've got two groups. You've got the teachers. Wait a minute. Now I know how the Lord feels when he's trying to find something useful. All right, teachers. False teachers. And you've got the learners. All right, now, these people are redeemable. Okay, these people are lost. So when he starts going, they, them, I'm going to point to which one we're talking about so you can keep it straight, all right? Because Peter's going to be on a roll here shortly. All right, he says, the fourth thing, we're to avoid their deceptions. When they speak great swelling empty words, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. You following me? It says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruptions, for by whom a person is overcome, by him he is also brought under bondage. For after they, we're talking about the learners here, have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than from the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Okay? Now, this is a very stern warning, but Peter is very, very careful. He doesn't want his readers to follow these guys. And he's warning, don't go there. All right? He says, but it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Now, I'm going to do this again, because this needs to be taught. It needs to be, people need to be warned, okay? They avoid 2 Peter, and they avoid Jude these days. We've got more false teaching, or as much false teaching as there was ever, but nobody warns about it, all right? So, I'm going to do this again. When they are speaking great, swelling, empty words, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him he is also brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them. Now, these are the guys Peter really cares about here. He's trying to save them out of this, or he's trying to rescue them. These are saved people. All right? It has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire, in the muck. All right. Yeah. The pollutions of the world, entangled in them, that refers up to the pollutions of the world. No, it refers to the pollutions of the world. In other words, let me put it this way. If after the students, the learners, have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they, the students, are again entangled in the pollutions of the world and overcome, the latter end is worse for the students than the beginning. That them does not refer to the false teachers. It refers to the pollutions of the world. Okay. And so the proverb here is Proverbs 26:11, a dog returns to its own vomit. Now, I like dogs. I like puppies and fuzzy puppies and cuddling puppies and that kind of thing, but they do have some disgusting habits. And we try to get them not to do that, but sometimes they do it in spite of all of our good intentions. And the pigs, they're pigs, and they will be pigs. And so these proverbs that Peter is putting in there is, don't be disgusting. Now remember, he compared the false teachers to natural brute beasts, to animals, okay? And he's telling these people, don't be like the animals, okay? You're better than that. So what do we make of all this? Well, don't go there. You need to avoid false teachers. You need to avoid their destructive doctrines. You need to avoid their ultimate destiny. You need to avoid their depraved character. And you need to avoid their deceptions. This is very enticing, but it's very easy to get baby Christians to fall back into whatever they were recently rescued from. All right, if you're discipling somebody who's struggling to get free of alcoholism, you don't want that person hanging around the bars. Okay, you've got to act like you got some sense here. These people have just recently escaped from bondage. Now the false teachers are bringing them back into it. And Jesus condemns that in the book of Revelation in two of the seven churches. It's called Nicolaitanism. And he doesn't like it. And he warns them against it. Okay? Now, you don't need to be condemning. Jesus warned us. He said, do not condemn lest you be condemned. With whatever measure you measure, it will be measured to you again. We are not to condemn others because that's God's job, all right? We are to, however, be discerning. In the same context where Jesus says, condemn not that you be not condemned, he says, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. And don't cast your pearls before swine or your holy things before the dogs. Okay? And what he's saying is, you can take this non-discernment too far and you can get yourself hurt. Okay? We are not to be condemning, but we are to be discerning. Do you see the difference? Because right after he says, condemn not, or judge not that you be not judged, he goes and says, you will know them by their fruit. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Don't throw your pearls before swine or your holy things before the dogs. How can you do that if you're not discerning? We are not to be condemning, but we are to be fruit inspectors. And if you see somebody who's not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, don't follow them. If they're manifesting the works of the flesh, don't follow them. If the doctrine's not correct, don't follow them. That's what Peter's warning against. Okay? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's not that they're going to lose their salvation, all right? But they're going back and they're living in their previous ways. We would call this backsliding, all right? Now, the false teachers, they're not going to be redeemed in the context. To them is reserved the blackness of darkness forever, okay? And so Peter is not reaching out to them, but he's reaching out to the ones who've been following them and trying to get them to come back, okay? Now, we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. There is still false teaching out there. We need to warn people about it, okay? And I'm not going to write off a false teacher. Peter is, these guys who were living at the time of Peter, but you can pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. You can do good to those who treat you poorly. These people who consider themselves your political enemies, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy is spiritual wickedness in high places. We are not being controlled by Satan. Those people are, but the people, those are the ones for whom Christ died. We're to go and snip the cords by which Satan is manipulating them, okay? And you pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of things against you falsely for Christ's sake. Because then you will be acting as sons and daughters of your Father who is in heaven. Okay? So, they're not our enemies. Our enemies are spiritual wickedness in high places, Satan and the boys, all right? You're nowhere in Scripture are we told to love evil. And we can hate the sin and love the sinner. And they say, you can't do that. Well, who's writing the rules? Last I looked, God was writing the rules. Okay? If you say, well, if you love me, you've got to love my deviant lifestyle. Well, Jesus is not doing that on the cross. You want to know how much he hates our sin? Look at the cross. You want to know how much he loves us? Look at the cross. Of course it's possible to hate the sin and love the sinner because that's exactly what Jesus is doing on the cross. That's what we're called to do. Unfortunately, we can go too far with the condemning thing and we can hate the sin and hate the sinner. Or we can go too far on the other extreme and love the sin and love the sinner. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. And anger too, you know, Paul will say, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun set on your wrath. Neither give the devil a foothold. Righteous indignation, there's a place for that. Jesus was all kinds of upset when he cleansed the temple. And he said, it is written, my house would be a house of prayer for all people. You turned it into a cave of robbers. He was upset, but he didn't sin. Okay? But we've got to be careful. Paul says you can be angry, but don't sin. And don't nurse grudges from day to day. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. You need to keep a short account. And I'm thinking at this particular juncture, it is very easy to repay with hatred those who hate you. It's very easy to do that, but we're not to do it. And you're to draw on the wells of God's strength to live in such a way that people will see your Father working through you and glorify Him. Okay? If you just love those who love you and hate those who hate you, hey, you're doing great. The mafia does that. Okay? Don Corleone does that. But if you love your enemies and do good to those who despitefully use you and persecute you, then you're acting as sons and daughters of your Father in heaven, and you're glorifying God. Okay? Let's close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we have the need to be discerning. We need to be wise as serpents, but we need to be harmless as doves. Father, help us not to be followers of money or to be motivated by greed or lust like the false teachers. Help us to share the true faith and to avoid the false teaching and the living of the false teachers. Father, help us to avoid greed and selfishness and impurity, and help us to embrace holiness, true doctrine, that we may be counted among the heroes of the faith and not the deniers of the faith. Help us not to be hypocritical in our love, but help us to be like Jesus. And we trust that you will empower us. You will fill us with your Spirit and help us, because our flesh cannot please you. But the Spirit can empower us to do the thing that does please you. And so we thank you for the warning about false teaching, and we thank you for the warning to avoid their doctrine, their ultimate doom, their depravity, and their deception. And Lord, if we've been falling back into things that you saved us from, help us to repent of that and to follow you and worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.